Line, Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. And hey, it is Love Week on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Tune in to Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning between 6 and 9 a.m. for details on how you could win a $100 gift card to A Moment's Peace Day Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs and qualify for a chance to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card. So Jim Wyatt was down at the Pro Bowl and a bunch of good content coming out from Jim Wyatt. Check it out on TennesseeTitans.com. There was one where he had a conversation with Jeffrey Simmons, was talking to him about the honor of being in the Pro Bowl and how fun it was to be able to share the experience with Derrick Henry and Ben Jones, and I'm sure they had a great time. I have my beef with the Pro Bowl, but the players looked like they were having a fun time and great. But the thing that really stood out to me was when Jeffrey Simmons was asked about the hire of Rand Carthon. He said 1,000% he's a great hire, and he gives his kudos to Ms. Amy Adams Strunk for finding this candidate, that Jeffrey Simmons loves Rand Carthon. And he goes on to say he had a conversation with Rand Carthon about the contract extension, which I know is going to be, you know, conversation 1A that we're going to have and continue to have throughout the offseason. About the contract extension with Rand Carthon, and Jeffrey Simmons said, we had a great talk, and him saying I am one of his priorities, that meant a lot. I'm sure that he is one of Rand Carthon's biggest priorities. Jeffrey Simmons goes on to say, I feel like he is the person for this job. There's not much that I can say, especially with talk of the contract. My agent is handling that. But whenever we get to that point, I feel very confident that I'll be here in Tennessee. And I want to be in Tennessee. So we'll see how that goes. And if you're a Titans fan, you're probably thinking, woohoo! Like, so excited about Jeffrey Simmons' contract. But the first place that my mind went to was back in a sit-down that Jeffrey Simmons had with The Athletic a few months ago. This was at the beginning of November. Jeffrey Simmons talks about how he was discussing with, it says the Titans, doesn't say specifically who it is. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it was probably John Robinson. I don't know that for certain. But here we have Jeffrey Simmons at the Pro Bowl over the weekend saying, I feel very confident that I'm going to be in Tennessee in the future. Go back to November. John Robinson is still the general manager of the Titans. He has a sit-down with the Titans about his future with his contract. Jeffrey Simmons says the conversation was, we want you to be here, but we don't know exactly when we'll be able to pay you. The Titans were like, we don't know if we're going to be able to offer you what you think you are worth. We want to pay you, but we don't know where it's going to come from. That's basically what it was, not an offer. Well, that's a pretty stark difference from November until now. You go from, we don't know how we're going to be able to pay you, to, I feel very confident that I'll be in Tennessee moving forward. What happened? What changed there?
GMs?
That's what I'm saying. Is that the Rand Carthon effect?
It does look like a very good first impression was made.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I could see both sides of it, because I know people are just quick when they hear that, oh, no reason they got rid of John, yada, yada. But but you have to stop sometimes, people. You have to stop and you got to think of both sides and what they're trying to accomplish. The player is trying to get as much money as he possibly can. And the GM is trying to save as much money as he possibly can. He's trying to get you, you know, for a little bit less. So when John says, you know, what he said, you know, it's, I don't know where we're going to get the money from. I'm sure. But he can say that right now because you are a year or two away from signing a new deal. He didn't say we can't sign you back. He just sort of, we gotta have to find the money. I'm sure there are a lot of GMs that operate from that standpoint when a contract is looming. Why? Because when you go in the room, that's why they say, listen, you can't represent yourself, or you can, but you're not gonna want to hear what they gotta say, because they are going to try to keep as much money as they possibly can. And you're trying to get, so you may throw out all this good stuff that you've been doing, and you're absolutely right. I'm the most dominating defensive lineman in the game right now, minus Aaron Donald and maybe somebody else. And you are absolutely right about that, Jeffrey Simmons. You are that defense right there. You are but then they can say, the GM will come back and say, well, man, you hurt and your play declined some, you know. I mean, I don't know. You know, this and that, whatever they want to come up with, they do it. But that's a part of negotiation. You're trying to keep as much money. That's why I say let the agent deal with that, because I don't want to hear the bad, because the bad may want me to dislike you even if I do sign back with you. I might dislike you after that. So you walk in there to talk to Rand Carthon, and Rand's like, listen, you are my number one priority, which is he probably is. But Rand ain't going to just say, hey, Jeffrey, let me see how you spell your name. Jeffrey Simmons. All right, here. Here's the check. Write whatever you want on there. Here. Don't worry about it. We'll just notice it once it gets in your bank and it gets up from our bank to your bank. Then we'll know how much money we paid you. He ain't doing that. But what he is saying is, you're our number one priority. But when it start getting closer and closer, it's going to take a minute to sign that contract, because there are going to be a lot of particulars. And if Jeffrey says, I want $35 million, you think Rand Carthon is going to say, here's $35 million per year? He's not. He's going to say, whoa. I know I told you you're our number one priority, and you are. But we got 50-some other players, or at least, let's say, 10 other players that we got to re-sign and free agents that we got to go get. So I'm going to try to get you as close to that number as we can, but I'm not going to give you $35 million just because you believe you deserve it. So right now, the relationship is good, and I anticipate the relationship will continue to be great even after Jeffrey signs here. But he got to understand that, hey, listen, once we start negotiating, things may look a little bit different. You know, I may not, you want $35 million, I might say, man, we can only give you 30, or we can only give you 10, 29 per year. Then how are you going to receive that, Jeffrey Simmons? You know, are you going to receive that as they don't want me? Or are you going to look at it as just a business situation, like they're just trying to, you know, I know what they're trying to do, so let's try to get somewhere in the middle. $32 million, $31 million, I don't know.
It's the puzzle, right? Rand mm-hmm. Carthon has to look at the puzzle. And we have always admired the players who they want to stay, they want to get the fair market value, but they also understand the puzzle. Now, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers has gotten a lot of criticism last year because he got his, but he also, in getting the money that he got, put his team behind the eight ball. They didn't have enough money to keep a lot of the good players, right? And they're still saddled with that. As long as he's on the Packers, that's a big deal. He's hard to trade. He's hard to keep.
Like hard to deal with.
They're between a rock and a hard place, right? And they've been dealing with this for a couple years. So I'm curious with Simmons and with Carthon, the approach to it. I think having a good relationship where you can have as much trust as possible in this probably helps. And Jeffrey Simmons, to me, he seems like a guy that wants to play on a good team. He really wears his heart on his sleeve, right? You could tell every time he was talking in front of a microphone last year how much he loves the team. He loves his teammates, right?
He was in tears after that Jacksonville game.
So that's a guy that I'm willing to invest in, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'll give him the money for sure, but how can you do it to where it fits in the puzzle, right? How do you distribute the money? How much is guaranteed up front? What's fair? There's a lot to sort through, and this is a first-time general manager, a young general manager, that how this deal gets done will dictate a lot of other things on the roster, right? Fair to say? Because it all starts with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I think his two signature moves within the next year or two is, one, Jeffrey Simmons, getting him to a long-term deal before, you know, they have to franchise tag him or anything else, and to get their quarterback of the future. Those are the two pressing things that I think should be at the top of his list. Number one, sign Jeffrey Simmons because he's here in the building. And then two, find out quarterback for the future. I mean, I would say the quarterback's number one, but, you know, you may not be able to get him this year. So Jeffrey has to be, it's like 1A, 1B. So, yeah, your first priority is to sign Jeffrey Simmons and then to find that quarterback of the future. So those are two things that will, I believe, that will either jumpstart his GM tenure here or not. Whether he signs Jeffrey Simmons and then find that quarterback in the future.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get your thoughts on that. But coming up next, I'm not worried, but should I be? We'll get into that coming next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Jeff, how you feeling about your contract situation right now?
Not talking about contract. Oh, I'm in camp. Worrying about football.
Would you like to see something done? If
I am not talking about contract. I'm focused on football. I'm in camp. I'm here. I'm trying to be the best I could be as a football player. Everything does take care of itself.
Jeff, how'd it feel, Jeff, I guess, to be back out there and camp right away?
I felt great, man. The energies were there today. I'm just happy to be back with my teammates, man. Just be out there on the field, everyone happy, everyone, especially on defense. You know, I'm over there with defense. We're trying to be juiced up. And I think that's the message, man. Come out here and just try to be better each and every day.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Simmons in training camp. He was not talking about his contract in July. What are you talking about his contract now? Sat down with Jim White at the Pro Bowl over the weekend, and he said that he thinks that Rand Carthon is a great hire, and after having discussions with him, he feels, quote, confident that he will be in Tennessee moving forward. And I'm not worried. I'm a very worrisome person. I worry about everything. I'm not worried about the Titans re-signing Jeffrey Simmons. I am not worried about Jeffrey Simmons' contract situation moving forward, and this is why. Number one, the Titans, I think, understand how it looks from the outside looking in. If they trade A.J. Brown because they didn't want to pay him the money, and then they go on to trade Jeffrey Simmons because they don't want to pay him the money, I don't think the Titans want to be labeled within the NFL world or with different players as that team that won't give the second contract. And I think there might be a pretty obvious trend of the Titans doing that in the past, at least in recent history. And they know after trading AJ, not wanting to pay AJ, or at least not paying AJ the big contract, I don't know if they wanted to or not, they would be a bad look if they didn't re-sign Jeffrey Simmons. I think they understand that. Two, the defense needs Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. This defense is Jeffrey Simmons. The defense runs through Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, that defensive line, the core of it is Jeffrey Simmons. The Titans understand that. Also, I think the new stadium plays a big part in it as well. If you sign Jeffrey Simmons, let's say a 5-year contract, he's going to be in that transition from old Nissan Stadium to new Nissan Stadium. Do you think the Titans don't want to have that Jeffrey Simmons, that core of the team, to sell PSLs and to bring this team into the new stadium? I think they need to think about that as well. And also, fourth and final thing, he's under contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is not just going to walk out the door. If the Titans move on without Jeffrey Simmons, that's a decision that the Titans wholeheartedly get to make. Jeffrey Simmons is not just going to walk. He is contractually obligated and contractually tied to the Tennessee Titans at least for another year. They can exercise that fifth-year option. Now, that's probably not what Jeffrey Simmons wants. I'm sure he wants the security, both financially and both in time. In case of injury, he wants that contract. But right now, the Titans have the leverage of being able to exercise that fifth year. So I am not worried. I haven't been. I am not worried about Jeffrey Simmons and his contract situation with the Tennessee Titans.
Right. He's going to be back with the Titans. The question is, how much drama are you going to see? And like we talked about in the last segment, how does the puzzle fit together? How do you have a win-win for both sides? The other interesting thing, Derek, I'm looking at his agent is listed on SpotRack as Paul D. Rossell, and I looked at his NFLPA profile. He's been certified since 2019. Number of current contracts negotiated, zero. Mm-hmm. So this is a new agent. It's been well documented about Jeffrey Simmons and his representation, right? It's been some different guys. He's got some family people involved. He's got some guys who have been professional players before. So that's an interesting one to me. This looks like a situation, as Caroline, you were pointing out, they're going to exercise the fifth-year option. He'll be under contract. But last year we just played that clip, right? Mm-hmm. We were all curious, would he sit out? You know, would he try to play his leverage last year with 2 years remaining on the contract? He didn't do that. He really did them a favor, right? He saved them a lot of headaches by just going ahead and playing with his rookie contract. Mm-hmm. He probably could have pushed the envelope. This year, I don't think that would be the same, right? I think he would hold out. He would have the leverage to hold out if he doesn't get what he wants. Do you agree with that, D-Mace? And you hate to see that, but mm-hmm. that's the only recourse he has because he will be under contract.
Yeah. I will say this. If they don't get a contract done this year, there is a high possibility that he's gone season. He's not under contract. He's a free agent. So anybody that comes with a good team, that comes with a big check, and wine and dines him and brings him, you know, fly him out and, hey, this is what we can do for you and this can happen and look at our trophies, all the trophies we won and look at where we're at, look at where we're headed. You know, we got our quarterback. Do y'all got y'all quarterback of the future? Does Tennessee got that quarterback of the future? We got ours. Look at all the championships. We look at the championships we won. And we can win more with you, Jeffrey. Look at what they didn't even want to sign you. They didn't even give you a deal last year. You know, they let you play under a fifth year. You could have got injured. We want to make you the cornerstone of our defense moving forward for the next 5-6 years. Okay. If you don't sign Jeffrey Simmons this year, he's gone. He's gone.
That's why it's going to get done.
This year is
critical. They can't let it get to that.
They cannot let it get into the season where he doesn't have a contract. Because if I'm going by what Jeffrey Simmons did last year, listen, I'm not talking about once it starts, and he's right. Once it starts, I'm not talking about a contract. I'm not worried about a contract. Only thing I'm worried about is making this defense the best defense in the National Football League. In turns, that helps the offense, and in turns, that helps the team, and we can win a championship. That's all I'm worried about. Y'all fought. Y'all didn't get a deal done. I'm cool. I'm a play, and I'm going to be dominant again. And at the end of the season, I'm going to walk out this door and I'm going to feel good about what I did. Because you know why? There's going to be at least 15 teams wanting my services.
No question. But
need to get a deal done this
year. No question.
They'll get but one. They won't let him go to free agency.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. What you said is an option, right? He could play it out. He'd just play under the fifth-year deal and be unrestricted.
But does he want to?
I think he's got more leverage.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to set foot on the field
and
say, you guys need me. You know you want me. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing until we reach a deal. That's what happens more often.
But if I'm the Titans, I say, that's fine. We'll fine you $50,000 a day per the NFLPA every day that you sit out. Not,
you know what? Because
that's written in the PA.
I know it's written in the PA. But Mike Vrabel, did we not see what Mike Vrabel did last year with Jeffrey Simmons? Because this whole contract stuff, really, and he just said, Jeffrey's on his own program. Go to the sand pit. Do your things. You don't have to participate in what we're doing because Mike Vrabel understands that. Listen, I want my guys here, and I want to show them that I'm behind them. So I'm not going to put them out on the practice field and subject them to getting an injury, and then they can't get their money. So what I'm going to do is say, Jeffrey, we got a plan for you. Just go on over there, stretch a little, you know, go work out in the weight room, do some sprints, watch practice. You don't have to play. It's going to be that way until he gets a contract. He may not physically not be there, but mentally, he's not going to be there because his thing is, and Vrabel's already showed us that he will do it. His thing is, until y'all give me a contract, I'm going to come. I will because I want to be here, but I'm not going to set foot on that field.
Right.
I'm not
avoiding that. Fine. Yeah. So he avoids the fine.
Exactly.
But can say that I'm here.
I'm here.
But until we get a deal,
and Vrabel's going to back him.
I think you're right. I think that's where the relationship comes in.
Right.
First impression by Rand Carthon, the relationship that already exists with Vrabel. That should help.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
So it doesn't get ugly.
Help.
It got ugly with CJ, right? Yeah. Right. Chris Johnson, mm-hmm. He held out. He waited all the way until to the first week. And he practiced for 3 days, jumped in there on opening day. And he was never the same after that. He really struggled to get up to speed after he was coming off his best seasons, right? Mm-hmm. But the contract thing, it ate into the entire training camp, and they could never get it done. He eventually got his money. But I think you could look at it and say, did he help himself there? He got the money, but at what cost, right? You just hope it doesn't get to that.
And I think that probably was one of the reasons why AJ got dealt, because they knew once they got into practice, OTAs and everything else, AJ wasn't going to be there. Not mentally, AJ wasn't going to be there. Like, he wasn't going to be on the field. And they didn't want it to cause more distraction than anything. AJ would have came in the building because, per the CBA, he would have came in the building. But it would have been known why he wasn't practicing.
I think you're right. I think there is a good bit of, look, we don't want to create any more animosity within this building than it needs to be. And you have shown that you could create animosity. So we're just gonna deal you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, especially considering the AJ situation, the Titans understand.
They don't want to go through that again.
They don't have any option but to sign Jeffrey Simmons, both for perception and on the field play as well. They cannot afford to lose Jeffrey Simmons. So, and I think they know that. I know that. You guys know that. I think they, within the building, understand that. So they're going to sign Jeffrey Simmons. No matter what it takes, they are going to sign him. And just the difference in tone from Jeffrey Simmons. Again, this article from Jim Wyatt on TennesseeTitans.com. Jeffrey Simmons says, "I feel very confident that I'll be here in Tennessee. I want to be here in Tennessee. We had a great talk." Compare that to a few months ago when he said, they didn't know where the money was going to come from. I mean, I have zero doubt that they are going to sign Jeffrey Simmons. How that comes about, I don't know what it's going to be. What the number is, what Jeffrey Simmons wants, what the Titans are willing to give, I don't know what it is. But what I do know is Jeffrey Simmons is going to get signed. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Another little interesting tidbit coming out from Jim Wyatt on the other side of the ball. And we'll get into that. And, of course, your phones as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Not from a power dynamic, from a division of work dynamic. In not having somebody that's leader of football operations, Rand mentioned the kitchen staff.
Yeah.
If something like that comes up, isn't it cleaner to have somebody that, like,
I am very confident, and again, I don't want to speak for Amy or Kenneth or Barkley or Burke, but we have people in place, and we've hired the right people to make sure that those organizations or departments are functioning to help the football team, the players. Like, that's what everybody's job here. His job, my job, Stretch's job. Chris's job, you know, Johnny's job, Joey, every single person here is to do what's best for the football players so that they can help us win football games.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel at the end of the season about what this new offense is going to look like moving forward. And I think a big part of that, almost the foundation of that, is the offensive line, looking at how much the Titans are going to have to overhaul the offensive line. And this is based off of nothing but my own opinion. I thought, okay, they're going to move forward without Taylor Lewan. It's too expensive. He's too hurt all the time. The only way that I see Taylor Lewan coming back in 2023 is if he takes a very, very, very team-friendly deal. If it's Taylor Lewan's priorities are just staying in Tennessee. But that's really the only way that I see this team sticking with Taylor Lewan. So I'm looking at an offensive line that needs a whole lot of overhauling. So I looked at TennesseeTitans.com. I love reading Jim Wyatt's mailbag. I love to see what the pulse on the fan base is. What do people care about? And I always like to see what Jim Wyatt has to say, because sometimes he'll give you a few tidbits without really giving it to you. It's Jim Wyattese, if you will. One person asked the question, says, "Hey, Jim, what are your thoughts on the status of the interior offensive line? I'd like to see us bring back Nate Davis, but from everything I've read, it seems as those most in the know feel he's good as gone." Jim Wyatt says, it would be great to see Corey Levin to get him back in the mix for depth. As for Nate Davis, I'd be surprised if he's back in 2023. I think that from Jim Wyatt is a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Nate Davis ain't coming back. And I just kind of assumed this whole time that Nate Davis was going to come back. You know what assuming does. But I just assumed that he was going to come back just because that felt like an easy bridge from 2022 into the future for the offensive line. Looking at how many pieces the Titans are going to have to rebuild and how many pieces they'll need in the offensive line, I thought, bring back Nate Davis. He's a legitimate starter in the NFL. Bring back a veteran, and that's one less thing that you have to worry about in the offensive line. So honestly, I'm kind of shocked to hear from Jim Wyatt that he'd be surprised if Nate Davis is back in 2023. Also considering what Ben Jones said to Jim Wyatt at the Pro Bowl this weekend. He was talking about what the honor of being in the Pro Bowl is, how exciting it is, how much fun it is to be able to spend time with his teammates, Jeffrey Simmons and Derrick Henry, at the Pro Bowl. Ben Jones goes on to say, it means a little bit more at the end of your career. So I think that's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge from Ben Jones that this is the end of his career. So he's going to be retiring. So now you got probably no Nate Davis, probably no Taylor Lewan, probably no Ben Jones. Is the future of your offensive line Aaron Brewer and Corey Levin?
Well, it could be.
Woof.
But, I mean, I think because Ben Jones is one of those, you know, one of those guys that Vrabel loves. You know, he's just battle-tested. He's gritty, grimy, got dog in him. He's just that. He's just that old school player that you just love. You know that he, you know what you're gonna get out of him, and you're gonna get a hell of a bite out of him each and every time. Like he's gonna come at you, regardless if he's hurt or not. But I think those concussions might have been just the straw that broke the camel's back for him.
I don't blame him if he wants to step away.
You know, if he steps away, I think it will be because, you know, yeah, I got injured a few times and I played through it. But, you know, once you start getting those concussions later in your year, later in your years, then, you know, it makes you second guess on, you know, hey, is it time for me to call it, you know, quits? I've had a really good year career, made a lot of money, met a lot of good people. But I can't keep on getting these concussions. So they're going to have to. I don't think Ben Jones will be back. I would love if he would come back just because, you know, he's one of the leaders on his team. But I don't think he'd be back. I'm surprised that Jim thinks that Nate Davis won't be back. Because if that is indeed the case, which he could be right, could be wrong, I don't know. They have to replace the left tackle potentially. Well, let's say they have to, because if they don't, then there's a problem. There's a huge problem unless Dennis Daly came back or
and just Jesus, a Superman. Take the wheel. Oh, my goodness.
If he comes back like Superman, then okay.
If Dylan Radins and Dennis Daly are your safety net.
That will not be. That will not be.
I know, but I'm just saying, you got to replace Dennis Daly. You got to replace Aaron Brewer at that. Not saying that he needs to be, that he doesn't need to be on the team. He just put him at center because the guard position, even the center position, he got to gain some. He got to get bigger. He just got to get some more weight on him. I don't know how. And he probably knows that as well. Like, listen, I need to put some more weight on. So you got to replace your left tackle, potentially your left guard. Your center's going to more than likely be a new center. Then you're saying, I'm cool with the right tackle. I think he will get a lot better. I think they will coach him up and he'll be a lot better in his second year. But then you got to replace your right guard too. That's four people you got to replace.
Don't you think all of us had the same reaction. And I think just about everybody that covers the team probably saw that little note by Jim and said, wow. Mm-hmm. Because I think we'd all like to, we're not capologists, right? Mm-hmm. But we have a general feel of who you'd like to keep, who is more and more likely to not be back. Like we are all sitting there, we'd be stunned if Taylor Lewan is back.
Yeah.
Stunned. Now, Ben Jones, we got to figure out, we got to have more clarity on the health. He is under contract mm-hmm. for this coming year. And it wouldn't be free to cut him. 4.5 against the cap, dead cap money.
It's if he retires, I would see that.
Yeah, and I don't know what that does to the. Yeah, see, these are things. These are the details I don't know about the cap. But I just thought Nate Davis was a guy. Well, yeah, you got to repair this offensive line. He's already there. Mm-hmm. He's pretty good. Why wouldn't you want him back? I think we all kind of thought the same thing there. So Jim Wyatt has got a lot of good credibility. When he mm-hmm. says something like that, you pay attention. You're like, what am I missing here?
Yeah, I mean, but and I get it. Jim could be absolutely right. And there are probably a lot of other people that are thinking, you know, that, man, yeah, I mean, Nate Davis, yeah, he's gone. There's no Brandon. Because what they're doing is, I think, not Jim. I'm not saying Jim is doing this. Because, like Willie said, Jim, he has his ear to the ground there. You know, he's sort of has the pulse of what's going on throughout that building. But I think everybody just look at, you know, when they look at Dennis Daly and Dylan Radins or, you know, not Nate Davis, but Aaron Brewer, they look at them and they sort of paint everybody with the same brush. Like, those three guys are not good, so the offensive line is not good. So we need to change everybody. When, in fact, Nate Davis is a good run blocker. Nicholas is a good run blocker. Ben Jones is a good run blocker. Now, they have their limitations in pass blocking. I think Nicholas will get better in pass blocking. I think that combination, if they choose to keep Nate Davis and Nicholas together, coached up, they will be much better than they were last year. So I think a lot of people are painting because of the left side. They're saying the whole line is just not good. I think the right side of the offensive line showed promise. They ran to, if I'm correct about this, and I looked at the numbers, not at the end of the season, but I think when we were in the middle of the season, they ran a lot, you know, between the center and the guard, the right guard or the center and the left guard, and then more so to the right than the left. But that's telling me why, because those guys do a good job at run blocking. Mm-hmm. So to change the whole offensive line, they can do it, yeah.
They're going to have a new coordinator.
Yeah.
They're going to have a new offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody is going to be learning something mm-hmm. new because the coaches are new. The scheme could be very different. We don't know yet. Here's the other issue. Like, so I asked myself, when I saw that quote, I'm like, okay, so why is this? Why is Jim saying this? Why could he be saying this? Mm-hmm. So Nate Davis is an unrestricted free agent. Unlike a first-round pick, you can't give him the fifth-year option. That would be probably a no-brainer if that were the case, but he can't. So he's unrestricted. He's age 27. He's been a very good starter. So he's going to have market value. He's going to get a big raise. So the question is, what's he worth? You know, what's he worth to keep? He's a known quantity. You know Nate Davis.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there every day. You know what he does well. You know what he doesn't do well. So I would think you'd want to do that, but is Nate Davis looking around saying, look, I've got some pretty good market value. I could go elsewhere here. And then what is it going to cost? Like, is it going to cost less to get Nate Davis's replacement? Now, he plays guard, right? Guards don't make as much money as tackles. They're not as valuable as tackles. So I just think that's interesting that Jim thought that, like, he must be saying that because he thinks Nate Davis is going to be too expensive to keep. And they're going to be in a mode of, they're going to change a lot of stuff anyway. They got a new coach. They got a new coordinator, and they're. What I don't know too is how many other guards are spinning around out there that are going to be available.
And that's the thing.
At what price?
The Titans might look at him and say, at least I look at Nate Davis and say, you are a legitimate starting guard in the NFL. But is what you want not necessarily what you're worth? And so we'll go out and find another serviceable guard cheaper. And I guess that must be the case because that's really the only thing that I can look to. To be the reason why they would part ways is money. Let's get your thoughts on it. Phone lines are by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Tyrekus is up next. What's up, Tyrekus?
Man, I'm ready to fight. Hello. Hello.
Go ahead, Tyrekus.
He's ready to fight.
You ready to fight, Tyrekus?
Man, nah. I'm just getting hyped up for what I'm talking about. That's how it was. I apologize, man. I want my break to fight. I know y'all like, what? But
what?
Y'all got to understand this to me, man. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think y'all ain't looking at the bigger picture. You want the same Bowman over here with you. You wanted Ty Downing over here with you. You wanted your strength and conditioning coach over here with you. You wanted your offensive line coach over here with you. And we want them all fired. And then you wanted Jonathan Joseph over here with you because you coached him with the Texans. You wanted Clowney over here because you coached him with the Texans. You wanted Zach Cunningham over here because you coached him with the Texans. And we want all of them gone, too. Like, and my biggest thing is if the Titans can't run the ball, they can't do nothing else. There is no reason why you're a great coach if all you can do is run the ball. If Derrick Henry runs through 22 people, if he can't run through 22 people, we leave. We lose. You ain't got no scheme. You just out there praying to God that we can run the ball so you can throw a 3-yard slant to the tight end on 3rd-and-3 because you ain't got no plays in your offensive play. I want to fire, bro. I'm hanging up, and I'm going to listen to you.
He's bringing the passion.
Tyreek is mad with it, boy.
All right,
no wonder he wanted to fight.
Ready to fight. Ooh, man. Wow. Look, I don't think that Mike Vrabel is some sort of sacred cow. I don't think that Mike Vrabel is unfireable. But let's give Mike Vrabel a little bit of credit.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Downing didn't work out. That was his guy. That was Vrabel's guy. He wanted Todd Downing as the offensive coordinator. He fired him because it wasn't working out. I mean, to Shane Bowen, yeah, it seemed like kind of a sketchy move because it was a Vrabel guy when the defense was absolutely horrendous in 2020. But the defense has really carried this team for a good bit of the last 2 years. Let's give Mike Vrabel a little bit of credit. What he's been able to do of making chicken salad out of chicken poop over the past couple of years in terms of the injuries. He's not a sacred cow. He's made plenty of mistakes. If he does decide to move forward the offensive coordinator position of not one of quote-unquote his guys, like a Tim Kelly guy, then give credit to Vrabel for going out of his comfort zone.
Well, I mean, he understands. I give him credit for what he's been able to do, you know, with this team, because ultimately he's the one that's helping coach these players. He's getting them going. He knows the pulse. He's convinced them that, you know, that these guys will play. He's got it in them that, listen, this is how we play. This is what we do. This is our mentality. And, you know, he's right. So he's done a great job at that. But he also knows that, listen, if I don't get this right, then that's my job next. They've already fired the GM, you know, got a new GM. If I can't get this right, then, you know, I will be next. That's just the nature of the business. Whether we believe Mike Vrabel is a good coach or not, I think he's a good coach. But if he can't, if he whiffs on this OC, and this is how coaches are. Listen, I think y'all fans, you just got to understand. You bring in people that you have relationships with, that you know, and that's been with you. So you tend to bring those guys in. And there's nothing wrong with that. If they're not working, then you got to move on. He saw Downing wasn't working. Maybe he moved on a little bit too late, but he did move on because he understands that if I don't move on and it happens again, we're both gone. Mm-hmm. So he had to make the change. Now his next move need to be the right move, because if it's not, then he knows that more than likely I'm the next person on a chopping block.
That's this business.
It's just the business.
That's the nature of it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I think D-Mace is upset about something. But it might just be a blessing in disguise. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
I don't think I'm the gambling type when it comes to Kyrie Irving. I look at his previous stops in the history, Kristen, between the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Boston Celtics, and now the Brooklyn Nets. He's 0-for-3 in terms of it ending well with those relationships. So I understand why Dallas did it, though. They've struggled when Luka's off the court or out of the lineup as he is now. They needed a second star, another shooter and playmaker. Certainly Kyrie Irving is that. But this is a gamble, and I think if you look at Kyrie's history, handing him the keys to your franchise and giving him that control, which you will have as a pending unrestricted free agent, I think that's a big risk by Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks.
There you go. That was Ryan McDonough, former Phoenix Suns general manager, on the big news over the weekend. Kyrie Irving traded from Brooklyn to Dallas, and D-Mace, all the talk. Ever since Kyrie was kind of the chatter that Kyrie wanted to trade, that the Nets were going to trade Kyrie, was that he was eventually going to go to the Lakers and it was going to be unstoppable. This trio between LeBron and AD and Kyrie, championship after championship after championship in LA, and he ends up in Dallas. It's going to be the Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving show for the next few years in Dallas. Do you need to vent, D-Mace?
Yeah, but before I vent, it's because my son, if you don't know, now you're going to, he's a huge Laker fan, but he's a Laker fan because of LeBron James. So the minute LeBron got on the Lakers, he's been diehard Laker fan. The kid watches every Laker game. By the way, he's a biology major and he still finds time to watch all the Laker games and makes the Dean's list. But the night when Kyrie said I wanted to be traded, this is what he texted me. And it was at 1 p.m. So I'm on air and he's in class. This is what he texted me three times. Dad, dad, dad. Kyrie wants to be traded. Did you see it? He just said it. Whoa, bro. Kyrie demanded a trade. Kyrie to L.A. confirmed. He wants to be traded before Thursday. And I'm laughing. And I said, I was just about to text you that. It's like, bro, I'm so excited. Rob better do his job, which is Rob Pelinka. He's calling by his first name.
Because they're friends.
Exactly.
First name basis.
He said, trade everybody. Russ, Picks, Lonnie, Schroeder, trade them all. And then what did he say? What does he say? He comes down. And I said, boy, go to class. And I started laughing. He says, I'm in class, but my mood just shot up a million times higher. He said, it's happening. It's going down. We're going to the finals. Dad, you don't sound hype. I'm like, DJ, I'm doing a radio show.
You to match his energy.
Exactly. So his energy was on like 10, probably on a million. And as we know, the Brooklyn Nets deal him to the Dallas Mavericks. And I hope Brooklyn Nets lose every game from here on out. I hope LeBron James, when they play Brooklyn again, he scores 100 points. This was a deal that was done. And I forget who wrote the article in The Athletic, and I read it this past week. This deal had been – they've been trying to do this deal since last year. The Lakers have been inquiring because Kyrie wanted to be traded in the offseason last year. And the Lakers had been acquiring, you know, how do we get Kyrie? What do you want? And everything else. And it didn't work. Everything went quiet. And then everything that happened subsequently during the season, and nobody really wanted to sort of get near that whole situation. So a lot of teams sort of backed up. Kyrie started playing well. Teams started, approaching him again. Kyrie wanted a long-term deal. And from what I understand in the article, I need to figure out who wrote it, but it was on The Athletic. From my understanding is they wanted to sign him into a long-term deal, but they wanted it to be tied into a championship. Well, you can't tie my deal into whether we win a championship or not, because KD's hurt half the time. The team around us, they've been hurt. Ben Simmons, I don't know what's going on with him. Exactly. So you can't tie my contract and what I want into winning a championship. That's just, it's not fair. I can't, if I can do it by myself, then yeah, but it's going to take a whole team. So I think after that, Kyrie wanted to be out, and he made it known he wanted to be out. But from my understanding, what the Lakers offered, and Phoenix was in the mix too, but I don't think Phoenix offered enough. What the Lakers offered from the article ended up being more than what the Mavericks offered, but they dealt him to the Mavericks. And I think they dealt him to the Mavericks because they knew Kyrie wanted to go to the Lakers.
They just didn't want to.
Yeah, they didn't want, exactly. The they just didn't want to do business with the Lakers, and they didn't want to appease Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. They wanted to be in control of it, so they sent him with a package to Dallas. I think Dallas gave up two players. And crazy about it, Dinwiddie, I believe, was a Brooklyn Net before. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't work a deal out with him, and he ended up leaving. So now he's going back. But Dallas only really have him for the remainder of the season because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot for a rental.
Exactly. So that's a lot. So either they feel they like Kyrie enough, which is – I love Kyrie. I think Kyrie's the best point guard in the NBA to me. He's a top five player to me. I just love the way he plays. I love his attitude. I love his demeanor. I love everything about Kyrie. But Dallas, if they don't win the championship, just like the opener said, they're taking a chance because he doesn't have to sign back with you. And you've given him all of this. You've given Brooklyn all of this, all of these assets. And Kyrie.
Two first round exactly. picks, a second round pick.
And Kyrie players. Is only, obligated to you for the remainder of the season. Mm-hmm. So either you win it. Or Mark, and I know people love playing for Mark Cuban, and he seems like a cool dude, but you better really wine and dine. You better make it so he doesn't want to leave, because he can say, hey, thank you for getting me out of New Jersey, but I want to go to the Lakers.
Because history has shown that Kyrie doesn't have loyalty to the teams that will.
No, and I don't blame him.
An arm and a leg for him.
I don't blame him.
0-3 with the Cavs. He mm-hmm. wanted to be the big guy. Goes to the Celtics, and he doesn't want to resign.
Well, he
the
won
Celtics.
The championship with the Cavs, so that was.
You could yeah. say it was worth it.
It was worth it.
The way
yeah.
that he left.
Exactly.
He didn't want to stay with the Cavs. He didn't want to be LeBron's Robin. So then he goes to Boston, doesn't resign with Boston, goes to the Nets, was nothing but a nightmare in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And then now he's with Dallas. And I would have no reason to believe that he would stay on with Dallas. But it was a move that Dallas had to make.
It is mm-hmm. the interesting. I sent you guys the New York headlines. He's yes. not the most popular figure.
Oh, no.
They
in New York.
Not.
Here's the New York Daily News
New
today.
York.
Nets deal Kyrie to Mavs for... Oh, who cares? He's finally gone. He's your headache now, is the headline.
Well,
he's been nothing but
see,
a headache.
Here's what the New York, and I'm, that's New York. And I'm wondering if they polled, Brooklyn fans, would they I'm sure they would have something else to say about it because their team has gotten worse, and they don't know if KD's going to then ask for a trade. So you're going to be a franchise that is basically free-falling, you know, because Kyrie's out, you traded him away, KD may want to leave, and you're going to try to get as much as you possibly can. And then you might even deal the people that you got in the trade for Kyrie to try to get more picks. That's what the article alluded to, that you may not even keep the guys, Brooklyn, that you traded for. You may try to send them somewhere so you can get more picks to try to build up your roster, which may take years to do. So to me, Brooklyn got what you deserve. That's to me, you know, because Kyrie's gone. KD might be next. Ben Simmons, I don't know what's wrong with that dude. I mean, like, goodness.
I cannot say enough about how much I dislike Ben Simmons.
Yeah, it's just like, and I think that's probably one of the reasons, like, Kyrie wanted to get out of there. Like, you got Ben Simmons, and this guy isn't nowhere near the player that he was in Philadelphia. And he's always hurt.
He can't even see the court.
Exactly. So, I don't know.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. It'll be okay, D-Base. I think the Lakers are better off without Kyrie.
But I will start watching.
You tell DJ.
I will start watching Mavericks games now. I like Luka, but I like Kyrie even more, so I'll start watching them.
Teron Davenport will join us coming up next. It's Caroline Willie, D-Base, 1025, 1063 The Game.